RIP, bring back femininity.
It is always the man's fault.
And it's like, I'm not insecure. It's like, it's not coming from a place of that. It's coming from a place of, I know my self-worth and I know what I bring to the table and I'm not compromising on my boundaries.
All the guys listening to this are absolutely going to hate this podcast because it's going to be very triggering for the people, the men that are acting like boys.
I think there's like nothing sexier than seeing like a man that's so in love and so faithful to his woman.
If your girl is treating you with disrespect, that is your fault as a man.
Yo, screw this. I'm not changing for anybody because you're not my person.
I think after we got engaged, said, hey, you're going to have my last name. You represent me now. Mm-hmm. And I need to make sure that like what you're putting out there, if you're going to be the future mother of my children, that means something to me.
It's here. We're back. So hello, guys. Okay. Well, welcome back to the ...
And to Mike podcast.
Yeah. Okay. So about that, can't just completely just say Ange and Mike podcast. So Mike and I have been talking and we've been talking about this for a very long time, but we are going to rebrand the Bring Back Femininity podcast to the Ange and Mike podcast. Since Mike is a permanent host on this podcast now, we thought we have to change the name. I think it was Bring Back Femininity is girly and, you know, Mike is on the podcast. So we didn't want to scare, you know, the men away from listening to the podcast or, yeah, we just wanted to talk about everything here. We wanted to merge our Finding Faith podcast with this podcast and we just want to have a variety of things that we're able to talk about because Bring Back Femininity, we feel like we're very limited. Now, that's not to say we're not going to talk about masculine and feminine energy because everything that we talk about kind of goes back to that. But there's going to be a little bit of everything on this podcast. There's going to be business. There's going to be masculine, feminine energy, relationships, marriage, God. And it's your like it's what you guys will have to do is just pick and choose which episode speaks to you. And you'll be able to listen to a wide variety of topics and perspectives. Right. So this moment is where we're announcing that we are rebranding it to Ange and Mike. Very simple, very easy, and yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think being able to talk about business or being able to talk about femininity or masculinity or God or travel, our life, I want to be able to do everything and not have it pigeonholed into like one thing. So I think this is going to be a lot better. And that way, you know, whether somebody wants to listen to all of them or they want to pick and choose the subjects they like, then they can do either way.
Yeah. The reason why I guess we wanted to start the Finding Faith podcast is because we wanted it to be separate from masculine and feminine energy. But from anything that we know about reading the Bible, everything is connected. God created masculine and feminine energy. He created man and woman. So it wasn't fair for us to be like, hey, if you don't feel comfortable listening to it, we have a whole nother podcast for it. This is part of our story. So we wanted to merge the two together. And if you're not ready to be on that journey of listening to everything that's God-based, then you can skip over and pick and choose the episodes that you want to listen to. But we highly encourage that you give it a shot because, I don't know, it can change your perspective and it can change your outlook. So yeah, Finding Faith podcast is going to be done. It was short-lived.
Yeah, one and done.
But now I think it'll be much easier for us to have everything all in one place. And it'll motivate us to create more episodes because with, you know, being so pigeonholed, like you said, into one topic, it really, I guess, like gives us anxiety. Because it's like, okay, well, what else can we talk about when it comes to this topic? What else can we talk about when it comes to this topic? So now it's like if we have everything to talk about, I feel like we'd be way more motivated. Because I love to just like shoot the shit on just random things.
That's all we do. That's all we do around this house. I mean, that's basically it.
Yeah, so.
Just talk, talk, talk.
Talk, talk, talk. Okay, so yeah. So moving forward, guys, if you see the name change to Ange and Mike, it's formally known. This is it. RIP, bring back femininity.
RIP.
Wow, it's been great. But now we're on to new things.
I think this is going to be better.
We're going to drive them crazy, you know, coming back after like almost a year and then doing the Finding Faith podcast. And then
I think they're already over it.
What do you mean?
No, I mean, I think they're already over it. I don't think they care at all that we're changing the name. Oh. I think they're on board.
It speaks more to our personality. But nonetheless, we just went to a Brandon Lake concert last night, and it was just an hour and a half of pure worship music.
It was awesome.
And just being in a room filled with people that just like love God and have the same energy as you was just like an indescribable feeling. And then we went to church this morning and we got filled up with the Holy Spirit again. And now we're here doing the podcast. And yeah.
And now we're going to talk about some controversial stuff.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun. And with this podcast episode, Mike is taking the lead.
Yeah. So today I have a very important topic to discuss, which is it is always the man's fault.
Ooh.
Yes. And this is something that I firmly believe in as a man, that anything and everything is my fault, whether it's in my business, whether it's in my health or my relationship, especially my relationship, everything is the man's fault. And all the guys listening to this are absolutely going to hate this podcast because it's going to be very triggering for the people, the men that are acting like boys. And so I'm going to be talking about some of the stuff is going to be biblical, but a lot of it's also just going to be practical everyday stuff that I think is really sad right now with our generation and with just people anywhere near my age. Like I'm in my early 30s, but you know, all the way from, you know, 20s all the way up to even, yeah, into the 40s. And there's just a lot of men out there that are acting like little boys. And so I'm going to be calling you all out today. I already know that this is going to get shared with you. I don't apologize at all. I don't care at all what you think about me or what you have to say about me. I don't even have social media, so that's how much I could care less. So can't wait for it to be shared. And if you don't like it, then step up as a man and do better. So I want to read something that was really intriguing to me. And it is out of the Bible, but I want to read it. And I think whether you believe in God or not, that part, you know, doesn't matter so much to me in the sense that, like, I'm not trying to preach here to you, but I want you to listen to this because I just think it's super interesting. This is like 2,000-year-old text, and it talks about how husbands should treat their wives. So it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So this is so great, because really what this is talking about, and this is a study Bible that I read, and the interesting thing I read just a moment later is it says basically that the Bible actually dedicated 9 verses to how the basically what the husband's duty is towards the wife, and only 3 verses for the woman's responsibility towards the husband. So let's just start there. I think that's super interesting because it's basically saying that the person that wrote this dedicated 3 times as much responsibility and 3 times as much words to what the man's responsibility is in a relationship versus the woman's. And it kind of goes back to the whole thing I just mentioned, that everything is the man's fault, in the sense that it is up to us as men to be the leaders of our homes, to be the leaders of the relationships, and to be the leaders of everything spiritual that kind of happens in our lives. So when I think about like what that means as far as like my responsibility in our relationship, and I say everything's my fault. If you're having a really bad day, or you're having a period of bad days, and I am also having a period of bad days, and I am not helping you get better by not leading by example, right? And so a lot of guys are going to say, oh, well, you don't know my wife, or you don't know my girlfriend, or you don't know who I'm dealing with, or the girl I'm dating. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. It's like, no. I've seen both. I've dated the crazy, and I've also been with a wife that is fully with, you know, within God's presence and totally at peace, right? And I've seen everything in between. And so what I've realized on this journey is that how I take care of myself, how I show up into the relationship, how much basically respect I show, how much work I do on myself, how much love I give you, will basically equally give me back in return what I deserve in return, if that makes sense.
Well, going back to it, it also goes back to Adam and Eve, you know, the first book of Genesis, mm-hmm. where God gave man the responsibility of taking on the leadership role. And then, you know, Eve went on her way and then ate the apple from the serpent. And then all that was like the fall of basically the whole world, is because he didn't take the leadership role where he stopped her. So, and then she forced him to eat the apple. So he listened to her, and then everything crumbled. So it goes way back when, where God gave the responsibility to a man to take on the leadership role. And if we're getting biblical, it's God created man first, and then, you know, created a helper, a woman from his rib to help him reach purposes.
Going back to the whole point that I'm trying to make here, that everything is the man's fault. What I mean by that is that, again, how I show up as a man, how I lead this family, how I take care of myself, how I get in touch with God, how I take care of myself physically, how I treat other people, how I treat you, how I treat the people that work for me, how I act with work ethic, right? What does my work ethic look like in work? Everything I do sets the example for you. Every single thing I do sets the example for you. And that goes for every single man that's in a relationship. And they might think, no, my woman's really independent. My woman has a mind of her own. My woman is not submissive to me in that way. My woman has, we're equal partners. Wrong. You are equal in the sense that you are both human beings, but you bring very different qualities to the table. And just innately, the way that we are designed as men is women that are in their feminine state want to be submissive to a man.
That they respect.
And they're only going to be submissive to a man if they respect him. And so with that being said, how is a woman going to respect you? Because if your girl is going crazy, that is your fault as a man. If your girl is treating you with disrespect, that is your fault as a man. If your woman is doing things that you do not approve of, that is your fault as a man. And the reason why is because you are the one that's been putting up with it in the first place, and more than likely the one that's setting the bad example in the first place. So in life, you only get essentially what you put up with. So I'm only going to get what I put up with as a man. So if I wake up and I'm lusting over all the other women all the time, and you can't trust me, right? Because I'm lusting all the time. Or if I'm lying to you, or if I'm not providing for you, and therefore you don't respect me, or I'm not working hard and you think I'm lazy, or if I'm not staying close to God by reading scripture or praying or whatever anybody does for their own spirituality, you're not going to trust me and you're not going to respect me. And when you don't trust me and don't respect me, you're going to go do your own thing, right? You're not going to be following my lead because you're going to think your way is better than my way. But if my way is working and I'm doing a really good job of leading this family, you're going to turn your brain off. and you're the first one to admit this, you love being able to just turn your brain off and know that I've got it. But guys, the reason there's three times as much length in the Bible about what a man's responsibility is for a woman versus the other way around is because, make no mistake, we have way more responsibility than they do, in the sense of you need to be able to lead your woman. And that starts with leading yourself and operating by a moral code and hopefully getting close to God, which makes it way easier, by the way. So when a woman starts to feel really comfortable with you because you're operating in a way that's respectable as a man, you're not off following a bunch of girls on Instagram. You're not off flirting with other people. You're not being a bum. You're working really hard on your business, you know, and you're doing everything you can with every waking hour to be able to provide well for your family. You're in a good place spiritually. You're taking care of your body. You're doing all these things. Women will naturally feel safe around you. And when women feel naturally safe around you, all the crazy starts to go away. I have such a beautiful relationship with my wife because of how hard I work, right? And how hard I work on keeping my relationship with God, how hard I work with my business, how hard I work on trying to be a good person. All these things make it so that my wife feels comfortable. She can submit to me. She can trust me. And then she can live in her most feminine state. And we then therefore have a beautiful, beautiful relationship. And my life is so much easier, but it all starts with me. So anytime I see men that are pointing the finger and going, oh, she was crazy, it's like, well, who attracted her? Or this, she doesn't respect me. Well, whose fault is that? Or she doesn't do anything I ask. Well, then you're probably not setting a good example that your way is the best way. You clearly aren't proving to her that your way is the best way. And now I'm not going to say there aren't some girls where guys are really doing all these things and they're just completely off doing their own thing. But that's like the exception to the rule. Yeah, normally, then, that's not the case.
But then that's still them putting up with that. Because if
they're putting up with it.
Because if they're not happy and the girl is going off doing your own thing and then you're complaining about her, it's like, well, you're not doing anything about it and you're still with her. So clearly that speaks more about your character than it does about hers.
Correct. And I met this other guy. I was on a men's retreat last week, as you know. And at this retreat, I was such a blessing to be able to hang out with a bunch of guys that not only believed in God, but a lot of ex-professional athletes, business leaders, I mean, just well-known people, politicians. It's a small group of like 25 of us guys. And we got together and we were just talking about how weak men are and how everything in the house starts with having a strong man, and how society has now made it seem like, if you watch these sitcoms, where the man is always the weak one in the relationship, the woman is always the strong one,
or he's always
the
smart one.
He's a deadbeat or he's just dumb, right? And that's what's kind of like going out there, is like, hey, this is what society is, and oh, women are the smart ones, and the women are the ones that need to be the breadwinners. It's like, not like totally wrong. Like if you look at what's going out in the world, they're expressing the totally wrong message. And it's destroying families because divorces are rampant. And I think a lot of this has to do with like the amount of weak men that we have in this world. Like if you look at even the number one cause of crime, when it starts like from the family setting, it's a fatherless household. Well, that's weak men leaving their wives or their baby mamas or whatever, right? And then that person growing up grows up without a father, without a strong man in the house. And then they end up getting in trouble with the law, end up using drugs, end up doing all these other things. Again, it's the man's fault.
Well, same thing if a girl grows up without a father figure in her life, she goes, does porn, she's promiscuous, she wants attention. Like, it's really important to have a nuclear family. Like, even if times get tough, like, it's important to always stay together. But I was going to go back to what you said about it's the man's responsibility, like being the provider, being the one to take care of the woman. It's because it does all start with you. There's that saying that's like, you give the woman a house and she creates a home. you give the woman groceries, she'll create a meal. So she'll always give you back tenfold or multiply what you have given her. But it all starts with the man providing all that, so she is able to do that.
That's such a good point. That's such a good point. And I take our relationship, for example, and it's been a 3.5 years of such a transition, because who we are now is not who we were 3.5 years ago. And I think when you met me, you were very independent. You were very in your masculine state. You were very untrustworthy of men, being burned in the past, and also with just your own way that you grew up. We had everything against us in that sense, right? And then whereas with me, I was this like very masculine, independent, already successful guy who was very on his, on his stuff. And basically what happened is we started clashing. And I remember just my frame outpowering yours, like in the sense of, it's all about framing. It's like either the man is going to be the strong one and the woman is going to live within his frame and within his world that he's built mentally and physically, or the woman's frame is going to win. And what the woman's mindset is and her physical reality is what the man is going to conform to. And I see that happening more times than not, where the men are basically weakening their own frame, their own mindset, and then basically starting to agree with, oh, well, it's okay to have, guy friends. That's fine. Cause I don't want to, even though it makes me feel like I want to kill someone inside, I have to go against my instinct and say, no, that's completely fine. Cause that's the social norm now. You should be able to have guy friends. For me, you know me, in the beginning, it was like, you have two guy friends from now on, or three. And it's one is your dad, one is your older brother, one is your younger brother. Those are the only other three guys in your life besides me from now on.
And people would honestly think that way, like, oh my God, he's so crazy. And a lot of...
Enzo's sneezing.
Thank you, Enzo. Bless you.
Bless you three times.
The thing is, though, what's happening with today's society and what I'm seeing a lot is that if you are the type of person that creates boundaries as a man and you create these strict boundaries that not even strict, that was so normal,
reasonable,
that were so normal in the past. But now it's a little, people would think like, oh, he's just so insecure. It's like, if you're a man, it's like, hey, I don't want my woman going out to clubs. I don't want her dressing a certain way. I don't want her acting a certain way. I don't want her talking to other guys. I don't want her doing OnlyFans. Like, I don't want her doing any of that. A lot of girls that are the way of the world would be like, oh my God, he's so insecure. And it's like, I'm insecure for having boundaries for myself. I'm insecure of having some self-respect for myself. Like, no, this is going to be the mother of my children. Correct. Like, I don't want her acting this certain way, because what's that going to say to the next generation that we're going to be raising? And that's the same thing for a woman. It's like, I have boundaries, and it's like, hey, if you don't want to respect my boundaries, I'm not the person for you, because this is what I need from you. And if you don't want to do that, then we're not right for each other.
Correct.
And it's like, I'm not insecure. It's like, it's not coming from a place of that. It's coming from a place of, I know my self-worth and I know what I bring to the table, and I'm not compromising on my boundaries. That's what it is. But I've seen, like, there was this like situation where I saw on like Instagram where there's this girl and she goes to like raves and parties and all that stuff. And her boyfriend was like, her boyfriend was at home and she's like on the shoulders of another guy, at a rave. And then there's like, and everyone's like, oh my God, like your boyfriend is so secure. Like, he's just so secure in himself. It's like, he may be so secure in himself, but from my perspective, it's just super disrespectful in general, like, to be doing that. It's like, why do you have to be doing that? Like, I don't know. It just, like, it felt uneasy. But now I see the generation coming up with all these like kids worshiping and idolizing these people that make it such a norm for that, where it's like, oh, if I'm not allowed to have guy friends, I can be doing this, I can be doing that, and if you're not okay with it, you're the insecure one.
Correct. Well, exactly. And it's just denying the facts, which is, the facts are, you can show me one really hot girl, show me her guy friends, and then have her text them all right now and say, hey, can you come over? Like, I'm down. Mm-hmm. And see that one of them will turn you down. Mm-hmm. Not one. They all your quote unquote guy friends
are just waiting.
Are just waiting for the opportunity to be able to sleep with you. And same thing if you're a dude and you're with girls that are, you know, unless they're like a sister, it's the same thing. Do not fool yourself. If you're a good looking dude or you're successful, you have something going for you and you have girls that want to hang out around you, they want to sleep with you too. There's an opportunity there. So I just don't believe in people having friends. Call me old school of the opposite sex. Call me old school, but it's just setting yourself up for failure. And look, if you just want to date and have fun, then this podcast isn't for you. Like, we're talking about real shit. We're talking about like, okay, if I want to date intentionally, if I really want to have a chance at having a family, if I really want to have a chance at growing something with somebody over a long period of time, then number one, I'm going to have to understand that when I meet that right person, like if I'm a guy, the girls that I hang out with and the girls that I talk to or the girls I've been with in the past, they got to go. Mm-hmm. Like 6 months.
Unfollowing the Instagram profiles, all
six,
of that, got to go.
6 months into our relationship, I deleted Instagram because I knew better in the sense that Instagram for me is a dating app. So when I looked at that, and I knew that I had something special. I knew that I had someone special. And I knew myself too well to know that you can't put an alcoholic in a bar day after day after day and the alcoholic not finally have a drink. It's the same thing with men and temptation. You can't put temptation in a man and dangle it in front of him every single day and not have him accidentally like one girl's photo one day. Not have him comment, not have him think about the DM he got, right? Not think about lusting over another girl because maybe you're so used to your girl now after a year or two, right? Her being in the house and you've seen her. We all have seen our woman without makeup and like, you know, with their jammies on and just, you know, whatever, their nighttime routine. Like we know that's a much different version of the person. Jammies too. Nice. Listen, I think you're adorable. I actually love you. It's a different love. When I see you at night after you do your nighttime routine with your little dots and your big jammies and all that, and the silk ones especially, there's like this place in my heart that I love you so much even more because it's such a cute, it's like you innocent. Can like you right now is you're hot. You look good. You're hot. Like, I'm proud of you. Like, I love leaving the house with you. You on my side. I'm like, yeah, I got a bad bitch. But then at night, I'm like, oh, I have the cutest girl in the world. You know, it's just different.
When I take my face off.
Right. That's what I say. But that said, you, and by the way, your face is like damn near the same. There are people that I've seen in the past where they take their makeup off and it's like, who are you? So, no.
Thanks.
Yeah, you don't really take your face off. You take away the accentuations. Is that the word to use? Accentuations? Is that a real word?
Accentuations. I don't know.
I ask people if that's a real word at least once a day. I say a word and then I have to ask the group. I'm like, is that a real word? But what was I saying?
You said something about dangling the carrot, temptation. There's a different type.
Yeah, so I got smart, right? Because like 6 months in, I got smart. I was like, okay. Because I caught myself. I'd be on Instagram and I'd be like doing some lusting. And I'm like, you know what? If I really want a chance at marriage, if I really want a chance at kids, and I really did, because at this point I had turned 30 and I had been single all my 20s and I'd had my fun. And I was just like, no, I was so empty. That was so dead. You know, any guy that knows this, you know, you get past a certain point and it's like, you just know that it's empty. If you've been lucky enough to be a guy that has been, you know, good looking and successful and good with women, you know that past a certain point, it's just dead. Or if you make a certain amount of money, it's just dead. There's nothing there. It's like no matter how much you make, no matter whatever, who you thought would be the one, it just doesn't matter. So for me, I grew up quick. I knew that if I put myself in a situation that would have compromised us, I wouldn't have been able to last. So I took myself out of there because I'm not stupid. it's like all these guys that say like, oh, it doesn't impact me. Oh, because I know some girl's going to send this clip to their man right now. And he's like, yeah, but I'm not weak-minded like that dude. I'm totally capable of doing it. Dude, you're still a man and you're totally full of shit.
Yeah.
You're just not admitting it. You struggle from the exact same things that I struggle with, that every man struggles with. Because if there's one thing that every man deals with, it is lust. It absolutely is. I do not care. You absolutely deal with it. So if you're going to put yourself in a situation constantly to lust and to be looking at other women that are half naked all over Instagram, again, whose fault is that? It's the man's fault. I keep going back to this over and over. You want to be a good man, then be one. And part of that is removing yourself out of situations that are going to put you in a bad position with your significant other. So one of them is social media. Another one is having friends that are girls, right? And so some of these things, they seem like no-brainers, but society has gone so far in the other direction that we actually have to have a podcast about this, that if this podcast came out 30, 40 years ago, people wouldn't even listen to it. Because they'd be like, yeah, that's a no-brainer. Duh. Like when I talk to my parents about this stuff, they're like
this is an issue
like,
right
what,
now?
Like my mom would be like, of course I don't have guy friends. And my dad would be like, of course I don't have friends that are girls. Like that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Because they're not stupid. And that generation wasn't. So now what's happened though, because the nuclear family isn't really prevalent anymore. It's not cool, right, to be a family. And it's more cool to like, you know, have basically
baby
mamas or to be with multiple partners and to share people and all that. It's like, that's what society is pushing. And it's like, now we actually have to have an episode just talking about how to like not be an idiot and how to be a good man. So again, I cannot stress enough. The reason I harp on the men so much is because I'm so tired of seeing weak men. I'm so tired of interacting with weak-minded men. And it's like, but thankfully, I have been able to surround myself with a very small group of really strong men. Usually, their foundation is based in faith, because without God, it makes being a man and makes overcoming those things very difficult. Remember, before I got God in my life, what would I always say to you about like lust and men and all that?
Oh, well, you would say, I won't be able to do it, but with God, everything is possible.
But before that, I would say like, listen, babe, this is just how we're all wired.
Oh, yes.
So what would happen is like,
he would make excuses for himself. And then that's also pretty screwed up too, because then the woman starts believing like, wow, all men are like this. I should just kind of like take it. And this is my life
now.
That was so miserable. Because then it's kind of like, yeah, well, maybe all men are like this and there's no hope. So I kind of just have to deal with it. But if I had to deal with it, like, damn, I would be miserable. I would be depressed. I would be sad. So it's kind of like going back to like, if your woman is sad, depressed, and she keeps nagging you or arguing with you about this one thing, it's because it's hurting her. And then you might think that she's crazy, but she's just asking you like, hey, like, stop following these girls. Like, stop liking these photos. Like, I don't think men understand how much it hurts the woman. You know, I don't think they fully grasp it. Because they're like, oh, it's just a photo. It's just pictures. But for us, it's so much more. It goes so much deeper than that, because then we don't feel like we're good enough. And that's where the insecurity comes. And that's when we start, you know, not trusting you. And then it's just such a terrible place to be in, because then you just feel unworthy. And some people result to like posting half naked photos on Instagram, doing OnlyFans, like going to get drunk, going to sleeping with other guys just so they can feel good about themselves. But now imagine being with a partner that just like, hey, it's like, you know what? I want to be with you. I know myself way too much. I don't want to be on Instagram anymore. I'm going to unfollow these girls. I'm going to stop liking these photos. Think about how much confidence you bring to her and how much trust. She'll be overfull with joy and love and peace, and your home and your like home life will be so much better that you can literally walk around and your woman will have the biggest smile on her face. There's a quote that says, if you want to measure a man's wealth, it's not by the clothes he wears. It's by the smile. It's how big the smile you know, the woman has on her face that's right next to him. Because you can be a wealthy man, but your woman is depressed, sad, and miserable. And that speaks volumes to you and your character and how you provide to the family. But if your woman is glowing, she's happy, she's radiating, it's like, yo, that man is doing something right. Because a lot of women don't look that way anymore. A lot of women are stressed out about the guys in society nowadays.
That was powerful.
Yeah.
That was good. I just wanted to relate it back to this. So from what I read earlier, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. So talking about what you just said, how can I be loving you like I love myself if I'm going out of my way to be lusting for all these other women and then getting that in the middle of our relationship? And here's what the other guys will tell you, though, because this was my mindset when I was single and I would be dating girls. I wanted to play the game of being desirable. I wanted to have all the followers on Instagram, all the girls liking my shit, because I knew that that would make you jealous. Mm-hmm. And it would be part of playing the game that I'd want to play, because I was not secure enough as myself as a man with my own character. I had to rely on playing games with you to make sure that you understood that other women desired me. And so if you saw that other women desired me, then you would desire me. Mm-hmm. And where I realized that came from now, years later, and doing a lot of work, right, on myself, what I've realized is that was all insecurity. If a man is really confident with who he is and what he brings to the table, I won't need any outside validation. I won't need any outside validation to think, oh, if these three other girls like my photo, then the girl I'm dating will see that. And then she'll know, well, if those three other girls want me, then she must want me too. Right? I think that there's some truth to this in the very beginning of a relationship, because I think a guy that's highly desirable will create attraction from another woman, but that only lasts so long. I remember I had this game that I'd play with you, and I played it with others before dating you. And it was like, I would purposely bring up people that I had dated before, or things I had done with people I had dated before, not like anything sexual, but like, you know what I mean? Just things. And I remember there was a time, and I hope it's okay I share this, but there was a time where maybe like 6 months into to do it or 9 months into it, I said this comment and you just broke down in tears. And you sat there and cried and basically said, why do you say these things? Are you trying to hurt me? And what I realized in that moment is I was playing this game with you where I was trying to show you, because out of my own insecurity, I was trying to make you feel like other women wanted me. So it's you're lucky that you got me and that I didn't need you, right? And by doing that, the only thing I was doing was hurting you. And when I saw you break down in just complete vulnerability in that moment, it broke my heart, and I stopped doing it that moment forever. And I realized, wow, it may have worked in a dysfunctional relationship. It may have worked to create attraction in the beginning, but now that she's in love with me, you know, it's like, and now that her heart's fully invested, that is so wrong for me to be doing. And I instantly stopped and instantly corrected my behavior. So it's just so interesting, as like I said, we've gone through these few years, to look back and see the things, the games I used to play. And they were effective games and they worked, but to see how sick they were and to see how dysfunctional they were and how toxic they were, and to see the amount of, like, now I've been off social media for nearly 3 years. Mm-hmm. I have been cleansed of social media. And by the way, anyone listening to this, I highly recommend it. When I got off social media and I found one woman, I went from owning one business to owning five and 10xing my income within 3 years. So if you want financial motivation to get off of social media and find one woman in your corner will make you 10 times more successful as a man than having 10 girls in your corner.
because then you're just so occupied with all these girls. Oh my God,
half my brain used to go towards chasing girls and, you know, wanting to talk. And half my brain was gone. Mm-hmm. When I remember when you and I started to really get serious, I was like sitting there thinking, wow, I got a lot more free time mentally. And I started another business. And that business became, I mean, so much bigger than my other one. I mean, it's insane. And that was because of you. Meeting one person and being able to say, okay, you know what? I have this one person now. Instead of acting like a child and continuing to just do the same thing over and over, which I know isn't fulfilling, I'm now going to take a step forward in my life, move on to the next chapter, and I'm going to build something for you and me and for our future kids that we can be proud of. Mm-hmm. And it's just so interesting, like I said, you know, at the beginning of this podcast, and I'll reiterate again, everything we have that happens in a relationship is the man's fault. And again, so many men that hear that are going to hate it because they're going to say, again, there's going to be so many excuses. And there are no excuses. If you wake up in the morning as a man and you read the Bible, you get in tune with God, you pray, you then go work out, you get yourself physically really feeling good, you get, you know, a healthy breakfast, a cup of coffee, you know, you are working on your mission and your purpose every single day. You are showing love, vulnerable love to your woman, and you are showing and you're being a good man to her, and you're being faithful to her, and you're taking care of her, and you're protecting her heart, and you're providing for your family, and she feels safe around you, and she can then pursue her passions and her purpose because you are providing for her in that way. Life just becomes so much easier.
I think there's like nothing sexier than seeing like a man that's so in love and so faithful to his woman and so devoted into being like a good father. I think there's like nothing sexier than that, honestly. I think it's so beautiful. Like sometimes I would look at couples and I'd be like, wow, like that man is so in love with his woman. And it's just so beautiful to see that because it's not a norm anymore. But seeing how he takes care of her and seeing how he loves her, seeing how he's being a good father to his children, it's just like, oh, like, you know, that does something for a woman because that's what we want. That's what we're like, that's what we're waiting for. That's what we're longing for. And it's so beautiful. It's so, so beautiful.
You ever seen the photo where it's Dan Bilzerian on one side with all the girls and on the other side, it's
Ronaldo
with his wife and children and yeah. Says, this isn't winning. This is. Mm-hmm. It's so true. It's so true. And
it's easy to be with a bunch of girls, but being a man that's a family man is a lot harder.
Oh, it's way harder.
But it's so much more fulfilling. Yes. And I respect, like, I can look at Ronaldo and I can look at Messi and they're the goats. Like, they're the goats of soccer. They're the goats of football. And I could look at them and be like, wow, like, you can be the jerk. You can be the one that's sleeping with a lot of women. You can be all that, but you choose to have a family. You choose to grow with your family. You choose to have your kids look at the mom and dad and seeing how beautiful they are, how they love each other. And then they're going to grow up and they're going to follow in your footsteps and they're going to be stronger than ever. Like, that is so beautiful to me. And Dan Bilzerian, going back to that, I saw a podcast that he was on. And he even said, he goes, listen, like, I slept with a lot of girls, and he has thousands and thousands of girls, he claims. He's like, sometimes I would have sex like 3-4 times a day. If I only had sex once, like, something would be a problem. Like, he's admitted that. He goes, but now I'm at this stage in my life where I realize after doing all that, one woman is enough. He goes, nothing is more fulfilling than having that one woman that you share that one connection with. Because when you're sleeping around with a lot of women, your energy goes to so many different places. Your energy can, like, that energy transfer that you have with someone, that girl can be like a demon, literally a spiritual demon, and you're having sex with her and you have that energy transfer. And then you're going to sleep with this person, and then you're just so empty and so unfulfilled. But he even said, he goes, you have that one girl in your corner that you share the connection with, you experience life with, you just have that bond, is so much better than sleeping with thousands of women because you'll never get that fulfillment. You won't. And when he said that, and then the podcast host was like, wow, like, that's even coming from you that has done it, you know, to that extent. And this is after doing all of that, this is what you come back to.
Yeah, because it literally goes back to what the Bible says. The Bible is this tested and proven text over thousands of years that has created all this wisdom on how to live life. And it is very explicitly clear, one man, one woman. And it's not even just having one woman, but then it's doing right by that one woman. Because as a man, if I'm not faithful, if I'm screwing around, if I'm doing something, all my peace is going to be robbed. I'm going to be living in paranoia. I'm going to be living in worry.
Guilt.
I'm going to be living in guilt and in shame. If I'm watching porn behind your back, I'm going to feel shame from that. Our energy is going to be off, right? All these different things are going to happen. Whereas if I, for me, and again, I am a weak man, but if I read the Bible in the morning, God fills me with strength, and then I can actually be a good man. And when I am, I live in total peace. Mm-hmm. I get to live in the present moment. And you know what happens as a man when you live in the present moment? You become so much more successful. Mm-hmm. You become so much more successful because you're not distracted by social media. You're not distracted by the thoughts in your head telling you can't do it. You're not distracted by a woman that's pissed at you and upset with you all the time, and you're constantly having to talk to her and get her off the ledge. Like, our home is filled with peace. And when our home is filled with peace, then I get to build empires. Mm-hmm. And that's like without distraction.
Our home.
And I get to go after my purpose fully without getting anyone getting in the way.
Yeah. And that's so beautiful. And it also, like, you know, our home is calm and peaceful. So when there is something that I am mad about, Mike knows right away. And it's like the end of the world because he's used to me being jolly and happy and full of life and making jokes and just being that like little girl in the household that's just having fun. So when there is something wrong, there's a drastic change in the energy in the room and Mike wants to solve it right away. But now imagine Mike always, let's say, doing something that hurts me and I'm always nagging, I'm always complaining, and that's my life and that's my mood for a very long time. Mike is like, yo, she's always miserable. She's always sad. She's always angry. Like, I can't deal with this anymore. And then you go out and you wanna go see other women that are happy and taking care of themselves. It's like, because you're not taking care of the woman that you have at home. So you think the grass is greener on the other side because, you know, they don't know you like that.
Yeah.
And then you do get in, let's say you do leave your wife or your girlfriend, you go to the other girl that you think the grass is greener on the other side. And guess what? You do the same thing you do to her and she's going to act the exact same way. So what you need to do is be like, yo, if my woman is acting this way, why is she acting this way? What's making her feel like this? Let me actually listen to what she's saying. And if she is the woman for you, because that's what it goes back to too. A lot of men, they don't want to change because they know that the person that they're with is not the person that they want to marry.
Yep.
So you got to really think like, hey, am I dating to get married or am I dating to waste people's time? Because if you're not going to change for the person that you are with, and you're not going to change your ways to make her happy and to make each other happy, they are not for you. When Mike and I met, we came in with some toxic stuff into the relationship. But what we realized after, it's like there was a lot of things Mike was doing that I wasn't happy about. There was a lot of things that I was doing that I wasn't happy about. And if Mike wasn't my person or I wasn't his person, I'd be like, yo, screw this. I'm not changing for anybody because you're not my person. But Mike and I realized like, no, this is my person. I'm your person. Let's change. Let's make things work. And that's exactly what we did. But everything that we asked to change of each other was so reasonable that it's like, hey, if we want to have a healthy marriage or a healthy relationship, this is what we're asking for is very realistic. And since you were my person, I did that instantly. I was like, yo, there's no questions asked. If this is making you feel uncomfortable or if this is making you feel some sort of way, why am I going to fight you on it? Why am I going to do that? Why do I want to be in a relationship where I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings? So you have to really like think to yourself as a man, it's like, hey, if the person you're with is the person you want to marry, you got to change. You got to realize that, like you said, it's always the man's fault and be like, hey, how do I reflect on myself and how do I change? How do I listen to what she's saying? Because You know, we don't just act crazy to act crazy. They always say, like, you know, you say your woman's crazy, but what did you do to make her crazy? You know?
Yeah. I'm going to give two pieces of advice based on what you just said. On, again, going back to the topic, which is everything's the man's fault. So if you're the type of guy that you're constantly getting crazy girls and that's who you're dating, I'll give you the solution. And this is the solution I had for myself, because there was a time between maybe like 28 and 30 where I really did want a family, but my actions weren't aligning with what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was I decided to start changing my actions. And then we met 3 or 4 months later. And what those actions are that I changed that would change any man's outcome of what their dating is right now would be to, number one, don't drink. Mm-hmm. Do not drink.
Same thing for the woman.
I met them. And I'm not going to drink, which is not going to lower my inhibitions, so that I will actually date this person intentionally and force myself to get to know them. Most of those ended up being one date. I think one was two, but it was very, very quick where it was like, yeah, this is not my person. And I remember sending those texts, and it was something along the lines of, hey, so great meeting you. Unfortunately, I just don't feel chemistry, you know, but I like really wish you the best. The text messages, the text messages I would get back from these girls was like, because all guys are weak and will ghost you and they will use you. I mean, again, weak men, weak mentality. Strong man will come into a date intentionally, and then let them know straight up, you know, after the date. And I was like, hey, so great meeting you, but unfortunately, I just didn't really feel chemistry. I really enjoyed hanging out with you, though, and I wish you the best. And the text messages I would get back would be like, oh my God, like, if you change your mind, please let me know. Like, that's so nice of you to say. Like, I'm so respectful. I appreciate that. You know, like, wow. You know, like, I've never gotten a text like this before. It blew these girls' minds. And then because I was doing that, and because I was changing my pattern and changing the way I was approaching these dates, I met you, like, literally a few months in. And the woman that I end up marrying, and the woman, God willing, here soon, you know, will have kids one day. But it's like, because I changed that, I got a new result. There was another thing I was going to talk about. What were you just saying before I mentioned this?
Oh, we were talking about, like, Messi and Ronaldo and them having a family and...
Yeah, it's still not ringing a bell. But I guess...
Oh, well, I wanted to ask you a question when... Because I feel like this would be good. When you got off of, like, social media, mm-hmm. as a man that had a lot of followers, that had a lot of previous girls that you dated, follow you.
Oh, yeah. Let's be clear for all the listeners. I had the Lamborghini. I had the lifestyle. I had all the tattoos, right? Like, I traveled the world. Like, his my lifestyle
Instagram was so lavish.
Oh, my God. My lifestyle was, like, you know, 100,000 followers. Like, it's so funny because I'm glad you brought that up. Like, for all the guys listening to this, like, my Instagram more than likely shit on yours. And I'm saying that in a sense of, like, I used it to get, you know, attention from girls. And I remember when I'd post on it thinking, oh, I'm posting all this stuff because I had convinced myself that it was for other people.
Inspiration. Like,
inspiration. But what I realized, and it didn't take long, maybe 3-4 days after I deleted it, that everything I had been posting was for my own ego. And that was a very humbling moment, because when you turn off social media, you realize you're very alone in this world. You yeah. think your network's really big when social media is very deceiving in that way. You turn it off. And then I started to count everybody that I knew on the top of my hand that, like, I could text, that I actually cared to text, that I actually cared to know what was going on in their life. And it's like, wow, I could name off like 6 or 7 people besides my parents and you, right? I was like, wow, it felt very empty and alone. Very like alone for 3-4 days. And then after 3 or 4 days, I started to look at you on your phone and I'm like, that's such a waste of time.
You're so addicted.
Oh, my God.
He is so right, because I'm getting to that point now where I came to the realization myself, because every time I change, Mike can plant the seed, but ultimately he never forces me to. I kind of come to the realization myself without being forced. So it took a long time, but Mike, he's been off social media for 3.5 years, and He is focused on his purpose. He's focused on his family. He's focused on God, and he doesn't watch the news. He doesn't know all the stupid and crazy shit that's happening in the world. So every time I see him, the lights are turned on and he's happy and he's jolly and he's just like, he's like a walking light. And then when I'm here on social media looking at all the crazy shit that's happening in the world, all the wars, all of this person, this man wants to become a woman and this woman wants to become a man and all this stuff going on, I'm just like, yo, the world is a very scary place and it takes away and it robs my peace. It also makes me compare myself to other people. It also makes me compare myself to what other people have. So then when Mike comes and sees me and he's full of light, my joy has been robbed. Even if I read the Bible in the morning, even if I prayed and read my devotional book, once I scroll through social media, all that's been taken away from me and it robs me. And then when Mike is full of life and we're having a conversation and we can be having a conversation about business or what's going on with Enzo or whatever, and then I have out of nowhere talk about like all the crazy shit that's happening on social media and all the crazy news, Mike starts to like have like a little panic attack because he's like, yo, I'm so out of that. If it was big enough, I would find out. But like, I don't want that negativity to rob me of my energy.
Well, because it's such a small minute of like what is really going on in the world. Like what I like to tell people
I didn't finish my thing.
Oh, okay. Go on.
Yeah. No, because then I'm going to lose it. So what I have realized where I came into the realization where it's like, damn, like I need to take a step back from social media and I need to focus on like the good things in the world, because like I think you were going to mention, it's like, hey, when you're on social media, the world feels very small. But when you take yourself out of social media, you kind of like realize like, hey, like the world's not that bad, right?
That's the point, is the news and social media does a very good job of making it feel like the world's not in a good place. But because I've been off social media for 3 years and because I stopped reading the news as well, maybe 6 months ago, and really substituting that time with God, like really just substituting that time with the Bible and the gym and other things that are really, or building my purpose, building companies, things like that. I look around and if you really think about it, if you turned off social media, if you didn't watch the news and you just interacted with people and left your home and went to work and you, you know, went out to dinner and you just do all the normal things people do, you would realize like, wow, 99% of people get along. Mm-hmm. Most everybody agrees on the same issues. You know, maybe everybody doesn't see eye to eye on politics, but at the end of the day, everyone's just trying to accomplish the same thing in different ways. Most people agree on the same things. I don't see, you know, like social media makes it seem like, oh, everyone's trans. It's like, no, I never see trans people ever.
It's just the algorithm pushes that in your face to make it seem like everybody's doing
this. Whatever's going to trigger you, that's what they're going to push.
Yeah.
Or, you know, war is like happening and it's imminent. Maybe, you know what, someone might argue, well, you're just putting your head in the sand. And I'm like, yeah. Well, you know what?
You're not informed. Like, I want to be informed. I need to know what's going on in Israel and all that stuff. It's like, but what are you going to do about it?
If you need to be informed, then you will find out from other people around you. If it's a big enough deal, I promise you that you will hear about it from a peer. Mm-hmm. You'll hear about it from somebody else. But exactly the point is that when you read the news, what I found for myself is I like to do things that I can actually impact. So if I work on my business, I can see the direct result of the work that I put in. If I go to the gym, I can see the result of that. If I work on our relationship, I can see the result of that. I like to focus on my life, on the things that I can actually make an impact with. Mm-hmm. Me reading the news and getting upset and getting triggered, I have zero impact on that. Me going and mindlessly scrolling through social media, I have zero impact on the outcome of that. Mm-hmm. These are things that rob you of your peace. They rob you of your joy. And why in the world would you focus on things that you can't control, that you have no say in which way it goes? Like, that's just such, if you think about that, it's just such a waste of time.
Yeah. Well, people can look at this and be like, well, you guys have your podcast on Instagram.
Well, I think then watch it on YouTube, because I still have YouTube, because yeah. I still think there's value in learning and there's still value in things like I still watch funny videos on YouTube. You know, when I'm, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can tell a lot, like for a guy and a girl, you can tell a lot about what they do on social media by what pops up on their algorithm and what pops up in their explore page. Because you go to the explore page, it's all based on your algorithm of like, what do you want to see? What content do you want to see? What content have you looked at previously? So if you look at your man's explore page and it's all naked women, chances are it's because he's liking and lusting over, or he's spending way too much time looking at a photo and Instagram catches that. If you spend like 10 seconds looking at a photo, Instagram's like, oh, he likes this, and they feed it to you.
Yeah, because they want to keep you addicted.
Exactly. So it's like same thing with like shorts and TikToks. It's like if there's a bunch of girls like shaking their booties while he's scrolling, it's because he likes that. And same thing with girls. If your explore page just shows like half naked men or like rich men all the time, it's like that's what you want to see. That's what you want. Same thing with your TikTok and social media. But I also want to talk about, and I want to ask you a question, because some guys can be looking at this and being like, well, he had a ton of followers, like that's why he had like a lot of girls were following him, that's why he had to get off of social media, because desirable, successful, lavish lifestyle, all of that stuff. But how about for the guys that don't have a lot of followers, you know, and that maybe they keep their Instagram private but are still on social media? Would you still recommend for them to completely get off of it if they want to find the woman of their dreams and be in a relationship? Or what do you?
I think when you're single, it's a great tool for dating. I think it's probably one of the best tools you can use. So like, I would recommend any guy that's single to build your Instagram up to make it yourself more marketable. You are marketing yourself.
I agree.
And Instagram is a great way to do that, to show somebody that you're not a weirdo, that you have friends, that, you know, you take care of yourself. Like those are, you know, without getting too far where you're like so egotistical and you know, all that. But I do think that it's a really effective tool when you're single. Now, once you get into a relationship, I think it's just as the opposite. I think it's extremely damaging and it can get in your way. Because if you look at it that way, you know, and you're going to still have it up and you've met the woman that you like through that app, you're going to look at it as a dating app. So it's kind of just like, for me, I think like what we're doing, right, is, you know, some people can't turn it all the way off. Right. So I know what we're going to be doing is getting a social media manager, because we don't even want to be on it, but we still know that we need to get our content out into the world. We still want to be able to interact with people that want to interact with the podcast and things like that. But we're just not going to take care of it anymore. And I know you can get very, very cheap social media managers on Fiverr and people like that. You could probably pay a very small amount of money to do this. So that's what I would recommend for a single guy. Keep it. Once you get into a relationship that you're serious about, don't delete it day one. That's weird too. You know, like maybe give it a couple months, a few months with the girl. But then, you know what I mean, as you see that things are getting serious, then turn it off. I think that would be a really good move.
I think it solves a lot of problems in a relationship. God, I think social media ruins a lot of relationships and causes so many breakups and causes so much, like, what is it called? Do I say distrust? Is that even a word?
Creates distrust, yeah.
Okay, it creates distrust in a relationship. But it's like, if you turn it off, there's half of your relationship problems go out the window.
Oh, God.
But the thing is, it's like, you know, but people can look at us. People can look at us and being like, well, Mike doesn't have social media, but Angelica has social media. So what would you say to that?
You know, I think that, again, this comes back to everything being the man's fault. For me, I've always trusted you from day one. And I'm not afraid to admit that I've grabbed your phone a few times, maybe a handful of times over the period of the last few years. And I'll say, hey, let me see your phone. Mm-hmm. You've never been weird about it. When I look through those DMs, you know what I mean? I've never seen anything strange, you know? And so for me, trust and verify. Now, the last time I looked at your phone, it's probably been over a year, because you do that enough times. And here's the thing too. I'm so secure in what I bring to the table. And again, I'm so secure in who I am as a man. And I work so hard for this family, and I see the way you look at me, and I know how much you love me and how in love with me you are. I am not even worried about it at all. Now, I will say that for me, and here's the beauty, by me leading by example, you went from being super addicted to Instagram and TikTok and all that to like being much less on it than you used to be. Like it's a drastic decrease. But now you're finally coming around, which is what I really wanted the whole time, of course, as you can imagine. Because when I saw how much peace and, you know, yeah, just how much peace I got when I turned it off and how much my anxiety went down, then I wanted the same thing for you. So now that you're coming around to that on your own, and again, because it's my fault, I'm leading by example. And if it was really that big of a deal, I would have definitely, it would have been a foot down moment. If I ever saw that you were doing stuff that was shady or this or that, and this happened a year or two ago, I'd have put my foot back down back then and said, it's off or we're done. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you never made me feel that way. So I never had a problem with you keeping it. And I also knew you're younger than me. Like, I take everything into consideration. I'm like, dude, when I was 26, what was I doing? I was an idiot. Mm-hmm. I was an idiot until I was 27, 28. So
I got one more year.
Yeah, you're way more mature than I was. And so I look at certain things and I'm like, listen, I'm 33. I got to the point when I was 30 where I turned it off. Like, she's still having fun. She's hot. She's young. You know, let her enjoy that. You know, like, let her enjoy that, because I'm secure enough to be like, that's fine. And you never made me feel weird. And you never made me feel uncomfortable. So I think that's why it worked for us. I never really cared.
It's also,
but let me finish real quick. So, but now that you're coming around to turning it off, I'm so happy for you, because
not turning it off, getting a manager,
getting a social media manager, but turning it off in the sense of turning it off out of your brain, out of your mind, having to be even on your phone anymore. It won't be. It's like, that's so exciting for you. I'm so excited for you because I've seen how much my life has improved due to that. So I'm just like, I'm over here rooting for you in this corner. Like, hey, I never pushed you to do it. But like, this is why, again, we'll end on this note, because we've gone on too long. We got company coming over. But this is why it's the man's fault. I led by example for 3 years on this and didn't push you on it. And guess what?
I came around.
You came around.
On my own.
On your own. And it's the same. So it always comes down to a man being strong, a man having a solid frame. And what's going to happen is, if you are a really good leader, whether it's in business, like with my employees, or it's with a woman in your relationship or with your children, I'm assuming that if you have a very strong frame and you can show my way works and I'm happy and I'm filled with joy and I'm filled with peace and I'm filled with love and I'm thriving in my purpose, yo, everyone's going to finally be like, well, I guess I'm going to do what he's doing because that seems to be working.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And going back to what you said about, like, going back to what I said about me having Instagram and you not having Instagram, it's like my content drastically changed.
Right.
Where it's like, if your woman is on Instagram and she's posting literally half naked photos, has OnlyFans, if that's the girls that you go for, then it's like, oh, wow, you know, you're doing it obviously for attention of other men. So your Instagram, you're using it as to get men's attention to become more desirable. So it's all the way that how you look at it. Mike used Instagram. So he saw Instagram as a dating app to get girls, and girls would message him and all that stuff. So he's like, hey, this is an issue for me. I'm going to turn it off. For me, my content drastically changed when I met you, where it's like,
well, let's talk about that, because that's actually a great point. I didn't ask you to turn it off because you did make accommodations for me.
I did.
So the way you posted on Instagram before you met me was much different than after we had some discussions. Because I basically told you after we got engaged, I said, hey, you're going to have my last name. You represent me now. Mm-hmm. And I need to make sure that, like, what you're putting out there, if you're going to be the future mother of my children, that means something to me. I don't want anything out there that's going to make you look some sort of way. And I didn't push you on which photos, though. I didn't say take that one down or do this one. What ended up happening is your heart changed. And you came to me and you, I remember that day. It was a beautiful day. And you go, what about this one? What do you think about this one? And you're like, and I would look at it and I'd be like, I don't know. That's kind of a little risque, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you'd be like, okay, I'll archive that. What about this one? Is that kind of too far? And I'm like, but it was your decision. It wasn't mine.
Yeah.
You know, I just let you know I had a good sit down with you from a really secure place, saying, hey, this is making me feel a little uncomfortable. And this is what I missed earlier. And I want to finish with it. There is nothing sexier to a woman than a man taking responsibility. So when I say in this entire podcast today that everything is the man's fault. When you take responsibility, gentlemen, even when it's not your fault, you have no idea how sexy a woman thinks that is.
Elaborate.
Well, there are times in our relationship where you've messed up. And because I take responsibility for it, because mm-hmm. of my part that I played in it, for maybe setting the wrong expectations for you to think that that was okay, you know, or whatever it may be.
You do that with your employees a lot.
I do that as well. When my employees make a mistake,
you blame yourself.
Instead of pointing the finger at them, I really try to say, you know what? This is 100% my fault. Mm-hmm. And they go, well, what do you mean? It's like, because I either put that person in a position that they weren't ready for, or I was unclear with my expectations of what I expected of them, or I didn't give good enough instruction, or I wasn't encouraging enough,
I
wasn't disciplined enough and I didn't set enough boundaries. It's all my fault. That's how I've built an enormous business, by literally just acting that way. And so it's the same thing with a woman. When you take full responsibility for a woman, when she is basically like, hey, I screwed up, and you're like, no, it's my fault, and let me explain why, and you go over all that with her, there is nothing more attractive to her. So we will end the podcast today with this. Everything is your fault, men, everything. And the second you start to understand what that means and you take it on the chin and you really learn and you start to take responsibility for everything in your life, not just with the woman, but with everything in your life, you will become so much more alpha, successful. You will have everything
desirable.
You want, you will have a woman that is completely submissive to you, because they will realize that that is a strong man and I can trust him and I will submit to him and I don't want anyone else but him.
Mm-hmm. I love that. One more thing, and I know you wanted to end off on that because it's getting into the time. I also want to say that a woman will not submit to a man that she doesn't respect his leadership roles. Because a lot of women, they can be like, well, I submit to my man, but he's like this and this and this. It's like, women, do not submit to a man that you don't trust and that you don't respect. If you're going to be submissive and you're going to turn your brain off, it has to be towards a man that you truly respect his leadership and he's thinking about you and the family and your future. Because if he's only thinking about himself, you will get yourself in a very toxic relationship and a very toxic cycle where you get hurt in the end. So please, whatever we say, we're not like a toxic podcast. You know, we're faith driven. We love love. We love marriage. We love dating. We love when people date intentionally. So when we are talking about this, we're focused on healthy people trying to find other healthy people. So that's it.
You know? Guys, we got company now coming over. Like they're calling our phone. We hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. Hopefully it wasn't too intense, but we love you guys. Please give us your feedback in the comments. Please give us feedback on DMs. We love hearing.